Good morning. Today's daf in Yom Yud Zayin. We are in Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. It's a short Amud Aleph today. We're two lines down in the short Amud Aleph. Again, today's daf, we're going to be doing a lot about the Baisheni and the structure of the Baisheni, trying to resolve a number of Mishnayos that are found in Masechtas Tamid, Masechtas Namidos, like we did yesterday. And so if you have any kind of visual aid that will help you, so that would be fantastic. Yesterday, what did we do? We established that the Mishnayos in Midos are following Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We had to conclude that way because the Mishnayos in Midos are not perfectly coordinating with the Mishnayos in Tamid. There are two Masechtos in Shas that give us a look at the Beis HaMikdash, structurally, floor plan. One is Midos and the other one is Tamid. As I've noted numerous times, and it's going to come up again today. So why two Masechtos for basically doing the same thing? So the mission statement of each Masecht is a little bit different. The Mishnayos and Midos are telling us the structure. That's as the name indicates, Midos literally means measurements. And so what we're going to do is that we're going to go through the floor plan of the Beis HaMikdash and give linear measurements of what the second Beis HaMikdash looked like. That's Midos. Tamid. So Tamid is more focused about operations, about how the carbon Tamid is offered. A day in the life in the Beis HaMikdash. So what did a day look like in the Beis HaMikdash? Standard operating day in the Beis HaMikdash. Nothing fancy, just the Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, but of course, with every detail that's involved. In the course of discussing it, so it also goes over the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So obviously now we have two Masechtas that deal with the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, but the notable differences between Tamid and Midos is that Tamid is more about structure Midos is more about structure and Tamid is more about operations. Okay. The problem that we experienced yesterday is that there is a slight differentiation between the description of the Beis HaMikdash found in Masechta Midos and that found in Masechta Tamid. And so the Gemara yesterday tried to resolve it. So yesterday we weren't about resolution. Yesterday we were all about Machlokas HaTanayim. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov is the author of the Mishnayos in Midos. Gemara yesterday wanted to substantiate that point, meaning it's nice to say it, but is there proof to that? And that was the Gemara yesterday. So Yuma Tet Zayin, yesterday's daf, literally dedicated itself, its entire daf, just simply to substantiate that, the Mishnayos and Midos follow like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Ultimately, when all said and done, the Gemara yesterday had two proofs that this is in fact so. The second proof literally took up the entire daf yesterday and spoke about the various elevations of the Beis HaMikdash, so that when the Kohen standing there with the Paraduma and Har Mishcha, so he's going to have a vantage point into the Heichal. And so what we did is that we figured out the elevation according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and then with that in mind, so now it makes sense that the wall of the eastern wall of the Har Habayis was in fact a lower wall in order to gain a vantage point. According to other Tanaim, you didn't need a lower eastern wall because you just simply peered through the entrance of the Har Habayis and that provided you an vantage point because the other Tanaim are of the opinion that the elevation is not so high. And so basically, you're going to look right at the top of the entrance and you'll draw a straight line going through and you'll have a vantage point to the Heichal. But according to the Sheet of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, the elevation was higher. He was of the opinion, I know, it's one of those things which are, it's funny that it's open to a debate, but it is, and that is that he's of the opinion that the elevation was even higher. In other words, when you start from the Har Mishcha and you keep going up, and up, you exceed 20 amos. Remember, the entrance was 20 amos high. You exceed 20 amos, and therefore, the only way to get a vantage point is only by peering over the wall. But that's only going to work if the wall is actually lower to the actual top of the entrance, which, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, it was. Good. That was in a really short nutshell. That was basically a review of yesterday's daf. And now yesterday's daf was all about noting the contradiction, but not trying to resolve. So today's daf is going to be a little bit more about resolution. We're going to see over the course of today's daf that there may in fact be a way to resolve the discrepancies between the Mishnayos and Tamid and Mishnayos and Midos. Now what are we trying to resolve? So the Beis HaMoka. So as we already noted a couple of times, and you could see it on the picture that I have in front of you. Once again, credit goes to my dear friend Rabbi Simon Wolf, who really does an outstanding job with the Daf Yomi. Okay, he's something special. But anyway, so if you take a look over here, so there's a picture of the Beis HaMoka. The Beis HaMoka is found on the northern side of the Azara. It's really big, meaning there are a bunch of chambers that are surrounding the Azara, but the Beis HaMokad is probably the largest structure. And it's where the Kohanim basically were. In other words, when they were doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, so the Beis HaMokad is where they normally find themselves, they're situated. And the Beis HaMokad is actually divided into corners. And each one of the corners of the Beis HaMokad had its own, like, mini chamber within this large chamber of the Beis HaMokad. And those chambers had different functions to them. And the Mishnayos, both in Tamid and in Midos, tell us what the four rooms were that were in the four corners of the Beis HaMokad, and geographically where they located, and with an orientation of north, south, east, west. And so the Mishnah and the Mishnayos in Midos describe it. So do the Mishnayos in Tamid. Mishnayos in Tamid also describe it as well, as we noted yesterday, and as we're going to open up today. So what we're going to try to resolve. They are not in perfect agreement with each other. And so today's daf is they're going to be a daf of resolution, not just simply saying it's a machlokas. What did we learn yesterday? In the Mishnayos of Midos, the first parak of Midos, six Mishnah, we did it yesterday. So we noted, that the four corners of the Beis HaMokad, I'm going to start in the southwest. Sorry, I got to work on orientation. So I'm going to start in the southwest. So I'm going to go counterclockwise. And you'll see, by the way, counterclockwise is important. It comes up a lot in today's daf. And I'm going to go counterclockwise. And the Mishnah Midos describes that in the southwest you had the Lishkas Talai Karban. That's where the sheep were kept in anticipation of being used for the Karban Tamid. Then you go to the northwest, and you're going to have steps going down to a mikvah. Then you're going to go to the northeast. That's where the Chashmonaim basically put the stones of the Mizbeach that were defiled by the Greeks, and they put them in Geniza. And then in the southeast, so you have the Lishka of the Osei Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim is prepared in the southeast corner of the Beis HaMokad. That's your Mishnah Midos, and the Mishnah Midos spelled everything out, meaning both the four rooms and geographically where they're located. And then, of course, we have the Mishnah Tamid. The Mishnah Tamid yesterday, so the Mishnah Tamid was a real brain teaser. The Mishnah Tamid tells us about the four rooms, tells us what the function are of the four rooms, and only identifies geographically where one of the rooms were located. The Mishnah Tamid says that the Lishka Satalayim was in the northwest. Yeah. Was in the northwest, unlike the Mishnah in Midos, which said that was in the southwest. So already that's the discrepancy in terms of the location of the Lishkas HaTlaim according to the Mishnah in Tamid. And then the Mishnah in Tamid goes around the room and tells us what the other three rooms are. Now, it doesn't say two things. Number one, for all the other rooms, it doesn't tell us which corner it is. It doesn't tell us if it's northeast, southeast, southwest. So it doesn't say which one it is. On top of that, if you look at the Mishnah in Tamid, which we did yesterday, the Mishnah in Tamid is in the third parak of Tamid, so it doesn't exactly describe the rooms the same way the Mishnah Midos does. So the first issue is the issue of orientation. The Lishkas Talaim in the Mishnah of Midos is in the southwest, and the Mishnah, Lishkas Talaim, according to the Mishnah in Tamid, is in the northwest. Okay, that's what we're going to try to resolve. The fact that the Mishnah in Tamid also describes the other rooms and not in the same manner as the Mishnah Midos, Gemara is not bothered by that at all. And for a very simple reason. Because it could very well be that rooms has multiple functions to it, right? Look at the room we're sitting in right now. So rooms have multiple functions to it. So it could be that the Mishnah in Tamid is describing one aspect of the room and the Mishnah in Midos are describing another aspect of the room. That doesn't really bother the Gemara. So in the Mishnah in Tamid, it describes the Lishkas HaTlaim, and again, puts it in the northwest. And then the other Lishkos that are mentioned over there in the Mishnah in Tamid is the Lishkas Chosamos. Okay, tokens were given out. In other words, if you had a karban, so you paid money, you got a token, and then you went and you redeemed your token. We discussed this back in Shkalim. Lishkas Beis HaMokad, a fire that was constantly there in the Beis HaMokad, meaning, right, not to be too confusing, but the edifice itself is called the Beis HaMokad, and one of the corners in it is called the Lishkas Beis HaMokad, but that's probably where the fire actually was. Lishkas Osei Lechem Apanim, so that is also being described in the Mishnah in Tamid. Truth be told is that in the Mishnah in Midos, so they overlap. The Lishkas Lechem Apanim is actually overlapped both in the Mishnah in Midos and the Mishnah in Tamid. But two of the other rooms, however, do not overlap in terms of their name, but again, as I pointed out, that doesn't really bother the Gemara Because again, it could be multifaceted. Some of the rooms have multi-purpose usage. Fine. Anyway, but here's the big problem, which we dealt with yesterday, and now we're going to start again today. And that is the Lishkas HaTalayim. In the Mishnah Midos, it's in the southeast. In the Mishkan Tamid, it's in the, in the Lishka in Midos, it's in the southwest. In the Lishka in Tamid, it's in the northwest. So, so we're just picking up right now in the Gemara. So, Rav Al Debrei, Rav Yitzchak Amar, Hi Lishka, Aksuy Mitzaye, Ude Asi Mitzafon, Mitzchazi Lebedarim, Ude Asi Medarim, Mitzchazi Lebedzafon, O Mitzdarba Demarav Ishdrama Ishaveng. Okay, it's a quick way to do an entire Amud. I love it. So the, but basically what the Gemara now is quoting in the name of Rav Al Debrei, Rav Yitzchak, obviously he's an Amara. So he says, look, Here's basically how to view the Lishkas Talai. Lishkas Talai Karban, the room in which they kept the Karbanos. So it was really in the, let's say like this. It was really in the southwest. Okay. The Mishnah in Midos is really giving a more faithful description of its location. Geographically oriented in the southwest. That's really where you're going to find it. However, it wasn't flush against the corner. It wasn't so flush against the corner so that sometimes a person can misperceive. Or not misperceive, but just have a different perspective. When you're walking into the Beis HaMokad from the north, remember, the Beis HaMokad itself is in the north. But when you're walking in from the north, meaning you're walking in from Har HaBayis, so it looks like it's in the south, which actually it is. But because it's not flush against the corner, so what happens is that when you walk in the south, it does look a little bit like it's in the north. Maybe it encroaches a little bit into the northern part of the Beis HaMokad. Don't really know. Gemara doesn't give a lot of detail over here. But from a perception standpoint, when you're walking from the south, it does look like it's in the north. Because again, it's not flush in the corner. That's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says, Aktsuye Miksaya. It's a little bit off to the side. Meaning it's not flush against the corner. The other three rooms are flush in the corners. Right? The northwest, northeast, southeast. So those rooms are flushed in the corner, but not the Lishkas Talayim. And so therefore, when I'm learning the Mishnah Midos, what's the Mishnah Midos doing? It's giving us actual, which again, going back to the point that I made in the introduction, makes a lot of sense. Because the Mishnah Midos is really focused on structure. So structurally speaking, you're going to find it. You're not going to find it. It is fundamentally located in the southwest. The Mishnah Talmud is more about operations. And so, yeah, the Mishnah Talmud says it's in the northwest, but truth be told, it's not in the northwest. It's just perceived that it's from the northwest because when you're walking from the south, it looks like it's in the northwest, but it's not where it actually is. But the Mishnah Talmud says it's in the northwest only from the perspective of perception, not from so much the perspective of reality. Good. That's the Gemara's approach. It's our second approach. And the Gemara says, and you know what? I love it. Gemara says it's a great approach. Umistabra. And the truth of the matter is, it makes the most sense. That really, from a reality standpoint, it really is situated in the southwest. Only from a perception standpoint, is in the northwest. But it really makes sense. And why does it really make sense? Mi deramin and lechem apanim alechem apanim. Omishan and Amar Avuna Bereid Rav Yeshua Marka Chashiv Derech Chemina Marka Chashiv Derech Small. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. I think we have it absolutely right. That really the Lishkas Talayim are in the southwest because let's do the following. Let's start with the Mishnah in Midos. Okay, it's the easiest way to start because again, everything's spelled out in the Mishnah Midos. So let's go to the Mishnah Midos and what does the Mishnah Midos do? So it starts us off in the Lishkas Talai Karban, which again is really in the southwest, and the Mishnah Midos describes it there. And then it takes us around the Beis HaMokad. Now when I say around, which direction are we going? So the Mishnah Midos spells it out. We're going counterclockwise. So that means to say that we're going to go from the southwest, we're going to go to the southeast. And what's in the southeast, according to the Mishnah Midos? The Lechem Aponim. The Lishkas Lechem Aponim. Then we're going to go to the northeast, and that's where the stones of the Mizbeach were located. And then we're going to go to the northwest, and that's where the steps go down to the mikvah. Good. That's the Mishnah Midos. Now let's turn to our Mishnah Tamid. As I already pointed out earlier this morning, the Mishnah Tamid only tells us one room and where it's located. The Lishkas HaTalayim. And again, according to the Mishnah Tamid, it says northwest. But again, now according to this approach, according to today's daf, it's really in the southwest. But right now, just let's keep it northwest, just as per the Mishnah and Tamid. Then what the Mishnah does is that, let's go around the room and let's identify the other three, but it doesn't tell us where. Now, presumably, when we go around the room, so what does that mean? Which direction are we going to go? Well, we already know the Mishnah Midos goes counterclockwise. So it's only fair to suggest that the Mishnah Tamid also is going to go counterclockwise. And in general, generally speaking, as the Gemara itself in today's daf is going to point out, counterclockwise is really the way to go. You have to then wonder, why does the clock go clockwise? But counterclockwise is the way to go. Why? What's so exciting about counterclockwise? What's so exciting about going counterclockwise is because in order to go counterclockwise, assuming you're coming out from the exterior, so when you're going to go in, when you're going to go into the quote unquote circle, so what do you have to do? You have to make a right hand turn in order to go counterclockwise. So every turn you make, especially in the Beis Hamikdash, you're always going to turn to the right. Counterclockwise is exciting. So let's assume the Mishnah in Tamid is going counterclockwise. Well, if that's true, so then we're kind of stuck. Why? Because let's do it. Meaning, let's go into the Beis HaMokad according to the Mishnah in Tamid, and let's actually go counterclockwise. Well, if we were to do that, so now the Talaim is in the northwest, again, as per the Mishnah in Tamid, then the Chosamus is in the southwest, the Beis HaMokad is in the southeast, and then the Lechem Aponim is in the northeast. Well, that's no good, because the Mishnah in Midos has the Lechem Aponim in the southeast. The Mishnah in Tamid, assuming we're going counterclockwise, has the Lechem Aponim in the northeast. So now, we're double stuck, because there's no agreement neither on the Lishkas Talayim, nor on the Lishkas Lechem Aponim. Okay, so let's do the following now. Let's make two subtle changes in that Mishnah and Tamid. Number one, let's put the Lishkas Talayim in the southwest, where really that's where it is. Meaning, again, resolution today. We're all about resolving. So really it's in the southwest. So that's going to be maneuver number one. And then maneuver number two is that what we're going to do is that instead of going counterclockwise, we're going to go clockwise. Okay. Admittedly, strange, but that's what we'll do. So now, once we do that, so now it comes out that the Lishkas Lechem Aponim is going to be found in the southeast. Good. So now what we've done with those two changes is that now we've coordinated the Mishnah Tamid in the Mishnah Midos. Good. And the Gemara says it is a really good resolution. Again, admittedly, the first thing we've done already this morning, which is that we moved over the Lishkas Talayim to the southwest, where really it is. Either Mishnah Tamid says northwest, that's just perception. That's not reality. But again, perception's important, meaning the Mishnah Tamid is telling us that from a perception standpoint, it kind of looks like it's in the northeast. In the northwest. But it's in the southwest. Fine. So that we've done already. The other thing that we've done, which is a little bit more radical, is that now as you're going around the room describing the other ones, so we're saying that the Mishnah Tamid is instead of going counterclockwise, it's going clockwise. Okay, but if you do that, so now we have full agreement between the Mishnah Tamid and the Mishnah Midos. And the Gemara now just simply spells it out. Iyamar Bishlamas, now we're on the top of the Amud Beis. Iyamar Bishlamam. If you're saying that the Lishkas Talayim is in the southwest, which is what we're saying, and Haina de Bitarz, Lachem upon him, Lachem upon him. So now, not only does that make shalom in terms of where the Lishkas Talayim is, it's also going to make shalom in terms of where the Lishkas Lachem upon him is, notably in the southeast. The Mishnah Midos says it, and the Mishnah in Tamid, now that we've reoriented ourselves in the Mishnah in Tamid, and instead of going counterclockwise, we're going clockwise. So good. So now we have the Lechem Aponim also in the southeast, like the Mishnah Midos. So now we have perfect agreement. So Haina de Mitars, Lechem Aponim, Lechem Aponim. Eliyam, Artsfonis, Maravis, Havai. But if you're putting the Lishkas Talayim in the northwest, which I know is what the Mishnah Tamid says, but if you do that, so my Tirutz, the Lechem Aponim. Yeah, but then you're not gonna resolve the discrepancy of the Lechem Aponim. So Ella Shmamina, but my Rav is Drum is Havai Shmamina. Okay, so the Gemara says, so you know what? We really did a good job. Meaning now by putting the Lishkas Talayim in the southwest, and now looking at the Mishnah in Tamid, and instead of going counterclockwise, going clockwise. So what we've done now is that we've created agreement in terms of the Lishkas Talayim, and we create agreement regarding the Lishka of the Lechem upon him. When all said and done, so what happened today's daf? We've resolved. Yesterday's daf, no resolution, just simply machlokis. Today's daf, resolution. And now the Mishnah, in Tamid's Mishnah Midos, just to quickly now tell you where everything is. So the, in the southwest of the Beis HaMokad, so that was the Lishkas Talayim. In the southeast, so that's the Lechem Aponim. And then the northwest and northeast. So again, go to the Mishnayos and Tamid, the Mishnayos and Midos. And now you can just simply identify where everything is in fact located. In our resolved approach of today's daf. So in the northwest, here, right? Just if you're following the screen at home. In the northwest, you have in the Mishnah of Midos, it's described as Yerida Litzvila. That's the steps that go down to the mikvah. In the Mishnah and Tamid, that same room is also Lishkas Beis HaMokad, where there's a fire. By the way, I kind of like it. Meaning that if you're going down to the mikvah, so what do you enjoy when you come up from the mikvah? You enjoy a warm fire. Okay? That's northwest. And what about the northeast? So the northeast in the Mishnah in Midos, that's where the stones of the Mizbech were held in Geniza. In the Mishnah in Tamid, it's the Chosamos. It's where the seals, where the tokens were given out when you gave them money. Okay? Multiple uses to that room. Good. And then, I know I'm repeating the review, but then in the southeast, they have the Lechem upon him, and that's both the Mishnah Midos and the Mishnah Tamid. And the southwest, you have the Lishkas HaTalayim. Okay, good. And that's the first half of today's daf. And let's continue. Oh, not yet. Just one more follow-up question of the Gemara. So, the Hamar Mar Kol Pinos HaTaponu LeYeh El Ader Chimin LeMizrach. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know, I didn't love it in that in order to make shalom, which we just did, and it really works out well, but in order to do so, we had to go clockwise in that Mishnah and Tamid. Like, who goes clockwise? In other words, when you make, the first turn you're going to make is going to make a right-hand turn. We just described in yesterday's daf. The Kohen's going up the Kevish, he's going up the ramp, and what he's going to do is he's going to make a right-hand turn, which by definition means he's going to go counterclockwise. So that Mishnah and Tamid, you're telling me that now it's bucking the trend? It's going counterclockwise, meaning it's going clockwise now. So the Gemara says, "Hani mi libavo davahacha chushbana ba'amahu." So the Gemara says, "Okay, look, it may bother you, but when you're doing the avoda, so then yes, follow protocol, follow procedure, make a right hand turn, go counterclockwise." We're not talking about the avoda over here. We're talking about a Mishnah that's describing the Beis HaMokad. So in the description, the Beis HaMokad, the Mishnah wants to go clockwise. That's fine. Chushbana ba'alma. It's just a Mishnah describing. Okay, good. That was the follow-up question. And now, I'll say it, that ends the first half of today's daf. Okay, and now we're going to finish up. Okay, this is all as per a Mishnah that we started already a number of days ago. Okay, so the Mishnah gives a description of the Kohen Gadol in preparation for doing the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So he's going to be doing a lot of practice. Okay, those seven days, he's going to be practicing the avoda for those 7 days. The Mishnah says also, just as a side note, which the Gemara now is going to pick up on the side note, and it'll really cover the rest of today's daf. Ushar kol hayamim. I'm going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is all the way back on Yudalad. Ushar kol hayamim im ratzal lahakriv makriv shekohen gadol makriv chelik barosh v'nato chelik barosh. And by the way, the Kohen Gadol, any day he walks into the Beis Hamikdash, says, "You know what? I'd like to do that avoda." Yeah, but we just had a lottery. And this Kohen just won it, and the Kohen Gadol says, "That's nice. I'm the Kohen Gadol." Okay, again, like the privileges of the Kohen Gadol. I'm going to do that avoda. And the Mishnah says he'll do whatever avoda he wants at any time he wants. Fine. And then the Mishnah also says, in terms of chalakim, in terms of taking portions of the karban, so the Kohen also takes a portion. Right? When it comes to all the other Kohanim, so there's a whole system. You're part of a Mishmar, you're part of a Beis Av. You can only take on the day that you're working. So there's a whole system. Good, that's for the rest of the Kohanim. For the Kohen Gadol comes in and he helps himself. And so what we're going to be learning now, the second half of today's daf, how much does he help himself to? How much is he entitled to help himself to? Good. So that's the rest of today's daf. Tana Rabbanan. Keitza makriv chelik barosh amar olazu ani makriv. So, first of all, when it means he's doing the avoda, I know these are simple examples. The Brisa here spells it out. So he says, you know, I'm going to offer that ola. And mincha zuani makriv, or I'm going to offer this mincha. Okay. Not really sure what we gain from these particular examples, All right, one's by Nola, one's by Mincha. Okay, Keitza Noto Chelik Barosh. Now, this idea of Noto Chelik Barosh, that he's going to take a portion of the carbon. So what does that mean? So Omer Chatzazu Ani Ochel. So he says, look, I'm really hungry. Right, you just offered a carbon chatas on behalf of somebody. The Kohanim have to eat the meat of the carbon chatas. Okay, you know what? I'm ready. Sounds great. I'm going to eat that carbon chatas. Another Kohen offered it. Okay, that's good. Another Kohen offered it. He's a Kohen Gadol. He can help himself to it. Asham zu ani ochel, or not only carbon chatas, but carbon asham as well. Again, same basic idea by carbon asham. Kohanim are going to be eating the meat of the carbon asham. Kohen Gadol comes in and says, look, right, fleishik tonight, delicious. I'm interested. Venotu chalam yishtei chalos. Now, in terms of taking menacho, so here it's interesting. The Mishnah says like this. On Shavuos, right, we're counting down. So on Shavuos, so we know that the feature carbon of Shavuos is the shtei halechem. In fact, it's this week's Parsha, right? This week's Parsha, get the Perech of Gimel. So we're going to be talking about all the carbonas that are offered on every one of the Yamim Tovim. And on Shavuos, so Shavuos is sponsored by the number two, right? We all know this. Right, the shtei aluchos, shtei halachem, okay, the mazel that Shavuos finds itself in. Right, Gemara makes this point. I don't know, but I've heard it already. I didn't invent this. So anyway, Shavuos comes to you by the number two. So you have the shtei halachem on Shavuos. So the shtei halachem on Shavuos. So that means that there are two loaves on Shavuos. Kohen Gadol takes one of the two. Okay, you'll get the trend in just a moment. Arba chamish mi ma'isa lechem apanim, four or five from the lechem apanim. Now the lechem apanim is weekly in the Beis Hamikdash, right? Those are the 12 loaves that are put on the shulchan. We describe it all the time. And then on Shabbos is taken off the shulchan, replaced with another 12 loaves. And then they're divided amongst the Kohanim. The Kohanim ayotim and the Kohanim anechnasim, right? You have the change of the shift of the mishmars of the Kohanim. So the Kohanim that come in, so they're going to get six of the loaves. The Kohanim that leave, they're going to get six of the loaves. Now it happens to be, and we're going to touch on this in a couple minutes from now, that's not universally agreed upon. There are some of the opinion that the Kohanim that are exiting get five, and the Kohanim that are coming in are going to get seven. We'll touch on that in just a moment. But right now, for our purposes, let's just simply say six and six. So what the Kohen can do now is come in and help himself to about four or five loaves. Rebbe Omer Lo'olam Chamesh. Now Rebbe says, no, he's going to get five of the loaves. Shenemer, Vaisa La'aron Lavanav, Mechsa La'aron or Mechsa Lavanav. And Rebbe now has a drasha. And the drasha of Rebbe is that the Kohen Gadol, when he helps himself, he's helping himself to half. Now hopefully at this point in time, I hope you're wondering, you know, there are 12 loaves, right? This is not higher math. So half of 12 is six. And Rebbe says, and he's going to get five because he's entitled to half. Well, that's a funny statement. Right. Okay. He should be getting six. The Gemara is going to be bothered by it. It's an obvious question. So what comes out over here? So what comes out over here is that the Kohen is entitled to take. How much is he entitled to take? So by Karbanos, by Chatos and Asham, it doesn't sound like it says half. Okay. And I know it's a bit of an issue. Meaning you would expect the Braisa to say half of the Chatas, half of the Asham. You only expect it after having learned the second half of the Braisa. But the Braisa by the Chatas and Asham does not say that. Okay. I'm sure there are ways to resolve it, but I'll leave that alone for now. But when it comes to taking anything which is quantifiable, like the Shtei Alechem, like the Lechem upon him, so in the Braisa, what we have over here is half or thereabouts. Okay. The Tanakama says about four or five. Rebbe says no. He's entitled to half. Half, of course, being five. Which again, we're gonna resolve that issue. That's gonna come up in the Gemara. And when it comes to the Shtei Alechem, so everyone's in agreement. There are two loaves. Okay, it's hard to take less than half. Meaning, you know how the number two works. So fine. So I'll take one loaf. But basically, the idea is that the coin takes half. And by the way, Rebbe has a drasha. The drasha of Rebbe is the pasuk says. Again, this week's parsha. Half go to Aaron, meaning the Kohen Gadol, and half go to his sons, meaning the rest of the Kohanim. Admittedly, at that time, by the way, there weren't that many other Kohanim, but it basically serves as a prototype, where Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, gets half, and the other Kohanim get half. Okay. So, good. So that's in terms of how much he takes, but in this brisa that we just learned together, it's fraught with a number of issues, so the Gemara over here is going to resolve some of the issues. The Chatas Asham, the Gemara is not going to deal with that. Meaning, why doesn't it say half by the Chatas and Asham? Okay. I assume as a simple answer, by the way, I kind of gave it away. I assume as a simple answer, the Chatas Hashem is not a quantifiable number like the Shtei HaLechem and like the Lechem upon him. Right? That's my best guess right now. Anyway, Hagufa Kashka. Amarta noto chalachas mishtei chalos mani Rebbe. So the Gemara says, look, Rebbe is clearly subscribing to the half principle. Kohen Gadol gets half. So when you say one of the two loaves, okay, good, that's Rebbe. That's the beginning of the Brisa, or not the beginning, but the first part of the Brisa. Then, Rebbe hi damar paga, damar paga shakel. Ema mitziasa. Okay, but then go to the next part of the Brisa where it says, and when it comes to the lechem upon him, you know, about four or five. Arbo chamesh. So, mimaisa lechem upon him. Asan l'rabbanan. Now that's the Chachamim who disagree with Rebbe. It's interesting, by the way, the Gemara does not give a source for the Chachamim, and it's not really sure what the mathematics of the Chachamim are. Meaning for Rebbe, it's half. Okay, that's the math. Now again, half of the Lechem Apanim should be six, we'll get back to that. But for Rebbe, it's a simple division of half. According to the Chachamim, the Gemara never explains neither the math of the Chachamim nor the source of the Chachamim. Okay, four or five. But anyway, that's the Chachamim. And the Aslan Rabbanan, the Amri Lo Shaka Paga. The Kohen Gadol is not entitled to half, something less than half. And now, Ema Sefer, Rebbe Omer, Lolem Chamesh. At the end of the Brisa, we go back to the Shita of Rebbe, which says that, no, the Kohen Gadol by the Lechem upon him gets half, and that's of course five. Okay. So again, that five versus six we're going to come back to. But in the meantime, however, the structure of the Brisa is Rebbe, Chachamim back to Rebbe. So, and the Gemara, you know, the Gemara does this all the time. The Gemara doesn't like that. So, Reish of a Sefer Rebbe Mitziasa Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, hey, I don't really like that. That being the structure of the Brisa. So, Amar Abai, Reish of Mitziasa Rabbanan. Umo de Rabbanan Beprusa de la Varucha, Lemes of the Kohen Gadol. So, Abai says, here, I'll take a crack at it. Here'll be my approach. My approach will be like this. The first two statements are really Shitas Chachamim. The Shtei Alechem, shouldn't the Kohen Gadol get less than half? Yeah, but, it's talking about the Shtei Alechem of Shavuos. And what are you going to do? You're going to take one of the loaves and then you're going to break off a piece from one of the loaves? Lav Arachar, it's not Derech Eretz. Don't do that. So, in other words, the Chachamim say under those circumstances, look, we'd like to give the Kohen Gadol less than half, but by the Shtei Alechem, it just simply doesn't work. You give him a loaf. Then when it comes to the Lechem upon him, where you can give the Kohen Gadol less than half, because there's 12 in total, so give him four or five, less than half. Good. So now we have Chachamim, and then the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Okay, good. That's a better structured Brisa. Umay arbo chamish l'rabbanan de'amre. As we now turn to the top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, okay, and now the four or five according to the Chachamim. So, meaning the Chachamim say, give him about four or five. Well, I don't understand. In other words, isn't this a concrete rule? What does that mean? Give to the Kohen Gadol, you know, about four or five. You want to tell me less than half? Okay. But four or five, what's that? So the Gemara says, "Umay arba chamish l'rabbanan da'amri nechtas notel sheish v'yotzei notel sheish uschar agafas delasos lo mishtei misrei bay mifleg batzir chada miplag chamei shakil." So the Gemara says like this, that, look, there, as we know, you start off with a total of 12 of the lechem upon him, right? That we know. And we also know that in terms of its division, so as I pointed out, so it's going to be distributed for the Mishmar HaNechnas and the Mishmar Yotzei. Literally, the changing of the guards, or in this case, the changing of the Kohanim, occur on Shabbos. And so the Mishmar that's leaving, after a week's worth of work in the Beis HaMikdash, so they're going to receive, right, rewarded, if you will, with six of the loaves. And the Mishmar HaNechnas, they're going to get six. And you know, and that's how the cycle continues. One Shabbos after another Shabbos. However, as the Gemara now goes on to explain, so nichnas no tol sheish. I'm starting again from the top line. Nichnas no tol sheish v'yotzei no tol sheish v'schar hagafas delasos lo mishteim esrei. Now, we're going to suggest the following over here: that look, the mishmar hanichnas. So you know what they're going to have to do? They're going to have to close up. Okay, meaning the mishmar hayotzei open, but they're not closing up. So basically what we do is that we take two of the loaves, we give it to the Mishmar HaNichnas because we know that they're going to have to end up closing up. The Gemara's description over here, it's like schar. It's like their wages. Like they're getting paid for doing it. Now, you understand it's a zero-sum game because next week, so the new Mishmar HaNichnas are going to get two. Okay, but anyway, but the point is over here is that the accounting that the Gemara is doing right now is basically you take two off the top, meaning because that's considered schar. So so by miflag batzer chada mi palga chameshakel. So now, and now what you want to do is that the I see my own confusion. Okay, so in what we're trying to do now is we're trying to explain four or five. In the first approach, okay, I have to edit some of what I just said. In the first approach of the Gemara, we are going 6 and 6. Sorry, we are going 6 and 6. But again, this is the sheet of the Chachamim, not Rebbe. We don't want to give him exactly 6 because that's half. Again, the Chachamim say it's got to be less than half, and that's why you give him 5. Okay, got it. Now, LeRev Yehuda, the Amar Nichnas Noto Sheva Ishtayim B'Schar Hagafas Delasos V'Yotzei Noto Chamesh. So now, okay, yeah, good. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, now I alluded to this earlier, but now we'll say it. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the distribution of the Lechem Apanim is not 6 and 6, it's 5 and 7. 5 go to the Mishmar Yotzei, 7 goes to the Mishmar Nichnas. But it's not really 7, it's really 5 plus 2. Meaning, 2 for the closing of the gates, and then 5 because it's 5 and 5. Okay. Now, so basically, 2 is taken off the table. Now, 2 is taken off the table, so what you're really looking at is now a grand total of 10. And now the Kohen Gadol comes in and he says, you know, I'd like my portion. So again, according to the Chachamim, his portion is going to be just a little bit less than half. So that means it's 4. So may eser by mifleg, batzer chada, mipaga v'shagel arba. Okay, so what we've just done now, sorry, it was a little choppy. But what we just done now is that we explained, according to the Chachamim, how the Chachamim say, you know, the Kohen Gadol gets 5 or 4. So now we worked it out, and meaning we know it's going to be less than half. Half of what? It depends who you hold like. If you hold like the sheet of the Chachamim, that the distribution is 6 and 6, so the total is 12, so half is 6 and less than half is 5. If you hold like Rav Yehuda, where the distribution is really 10, 2 is taken off the table, because that's considered tzchar, that's considered the wages for the Mishmar HaNichnas, so it's really starting with 10, so half of that is 5, and you want less than half, which is 4. Okay, good. That's how you understand the sheet of the Chachamim of 4 and 5. This is all as per the explanation of Abaye.
So, where is 4 and 5? Does it come from both Nichnas and
Yotzer? It's an excellent question. I don't know the answer. Just to repeat the question, so when the Kohen Gadol comes in and he takes, so obviously it's a serious depletion of the distribution. So it leaves, right? It could leave as little as 7. It could leave as little as 8. Whichever it is. So who's that? Who's going to be at the loss over there? Okay, I don't know. It's a really good question. Rava Amar Kula Rebihi. Rava's of the position that no. Rava says, look, let's go back to the Braisa. Again, what bothered us? The choppiness of the Braisa. The Braisa goes from Shitas Rebbe and pinballs to the sheet of the Chacham and pinballs back to the sheet of Rebbe. So again, so the way Abai approach it is that it's Chachamim Rebbe. So Rava says, no. Kula Rebbe. The whole Braisa from beginning to end is Rebbe. Vesavalak Rebbe Yehuda. And the truth of the matter is that he holds like Shitas Rebbe Yehuda, meaning that in terms of the distribution of the lechem upon him, so now take 2 off the top, again, because that's considered tzchar. So really, you're starting off with a number 10. And so that means that really what the Kohen Gadol should be receiving is 5, which is great. That's what it says at the end of the Braisa. Yeah, but according to Rava, the whole Braisa is going like Rebbe. And oh, by the way, it also works out great for the Shtei Alechem. Shtei Alechem, how much does the Kohen Gadol take? 1. That also works out great. It's that middle part of the Braisa where the middle part of the Braisa says 4 or 5. How does that go like the sheet of Rebbe? So he goes on to explain. Ve'ela mai arba hachamesh by lemishkal. So, but in the middle of the Braisa, it says 4 or 5. Now, 5 again is justifiable according to Rebbe. But 4? How's that justifiable? So the Gemara says, yeah, it does work out sometimes that even according to Rebbe, the Kohen Gadol is going to get 4. Well, how does that work out? Lokasha had the ikar mishmar misakev, had the leka mishmar misakev, ikar mishmar misakev, mishmona by lemifleg, vishakal arba, ileka mishmar misakev, me eser by lemifleg, vishakal chamesh. So it depends about the mishmar misakev. Now, and when we get to the Gemara and Sukkah, we're going to do this in much greater detail. And over here, I'm not going to give a lot of detail over here. I'll just say it really like as a rough sketch. It's in the 5th parak of the Mishnayos in Sukkah, and that is what happens on Yontav. What happens in Yontav is, it's a reunion. All the Kohanim come to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? And the Mishnayos and Sukkos go through a lot of detail in terms of, and so how are we going to coordinate all the karbanos to be done when you have all the mishmaros coming in? Good, that's the Mishnah in the fifth parak of Sukkah. Okay, all the karbanos that are coming in on Yantav. So how do you do the distribution of the lechem upon them? That's a great question. Right, same, right, the lechem upon them is a constant, and now you have all the mishmaros coming in? Okay, it's going to be a little bit tougher. However, and that's not what we're here for. What we are here for, however, is what happens, you know, like Shavuos this year, right? Shavuos this year is Sunday night, right? Monday. So that means to say that Yontif is on a Monday. So now you're a Kohen who happens not to be at that Mishmar, but you are going to come in for Yontif. So as you can imagine, as the Kohanim are making their plans, they're like, you know what? Let's not wait till after Shabbos to go to Yerushalayim. Let's go to Yerushalayim for Shabbos. Okay. Even though, of course, they don't have an official invite for that Shabbos, but, you know, traveling is not that easy. So they're going to come in for Shabbos. And that's what's called the Mishmar HaMisakev. I just gave one example. Rashi over here gives a couple more examples, but that's called the Mishmar HaMisakev. Under those circumstances, so you have all these Kohanim who are not officially invited, but because Yontif is so proximate to Shabbos, it's kind of understandable that, you know, they're there. So what we do under those circumstances, the Mishnah in Sukkah describes it, and the Gemara here is making reference to it, is that after taking two for the Mishmar Nechna, so that's skimmed off the top, legitimately, right? It's not the right phrase. But in other words, you take two right off the top for the Mishmar HaNechnas. So now we're down to 10. But if we do have a Mishmar HaMisakev, like in the example that I just described, so you take another two and you give it to the Mishmar HaMisakev. Okay? And so now you're down to 8. Under those circumstances, now when the Kohen Gadol comes in and he says, okay, I'm entitled to my portion, Rava says, we're going to assume like Rebbe that he's entitled to half. But in this scenario, half is half of 8, which is 4. Good. A really smart way to try to have the whole Brisa going like the sheet of Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. Adkan, we'll stop here. Let's review. The Gemara in today's daf, first half of today's daf, the discrepancies that lie between the Mishnayos and Midos and the Mishnayos and Tamid, and the fact that they're not putting the Lishkas HaTlaim in the same place in the base of Mokad. So what we've come to do today, yesterday what we did is, it's a machlokas. Today what we try to do is resolve and try to create shalom between the Mishnayos and Tamid and the Mishnayos and Midos. And we did. Meaning the today's approach is that we actually went ahead and we did so. We had to do two things, however, in order to create shalom. Number one, we had to reorient the room according to the Mishnah and Tamid. The Mishnah and Midos is nothing to reorient. The Mishnah and Midos spells everything out, and location-wise tells us where everything is. The Mishnah and Tamid, so we did is that even though the Mishnah and Tamid describes the Lishkas Talaim in the northwest, we actually brought it down to the southwest. So what's the Mishnah and Tamid talking about? It's saying it's in the northwest from a perception standpoint. When you're walking in from the south, it looks like it's in the north because it wasn't flush in the corner. Okay, fine. And the other thing we had to do in order to create shalom between the two Mishnayos is that the Mishnah in Midos, again, everything spelled out over there, it goes counterclockwise. The Mishnah in Tamid said we're going to do something unusual and we're going to go clockwise. But once we do that, so now we have perfect agreement between the Mishnah in Tamid and the Mishnah in Midos. That was the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf, Kohen Gadol comes and wants to do the avoda, he's entitled. Kohen Gadol wants to take a portion, he's entitled. How much of a portion? So that's what we discussed in more detail in the second half of today's daf. According to Shitas Rebbe, it's half. And he has a pasuk in this week's parsha, darshaning that's going to be half of the Kohen Gadol. So what is half? So you think half is easy. Turns out that today, figuring out half is not all that easy. The Shea Lechem, so that's 1 out of 2. The Lechem upon him, right? You would have said the number 6, you'd be wrong. I would have said 6, I would have been wrong. So it's not 6, it's going to be 5, and according to, and under certain circumstances, it's going to be 4. Now the sheet of the Chachamim, as we learned today, is the Kohen is entitled to less than half. Okay, the sheet of the Chachamim works out really good, because less than half means he gets 5. Half is 6, and less than half is 5. Good, that's the sheet of the Chachamim. But what we did at the end of today's daf, this is Rava's maneuver, right, is that he said, no, the whole Bryce is really going like Rebbe. Really, the Kohen's entitled to half. But how do you get to half? So sometimes it's 5 and sometimes it's 4. Because the Bryce is espousing the viewpoint of Rebbe Yehuda, where the distribution is not 6 and 6, but rather it's 5 and 5 plus 2. And that 2 is taken right off the top because that's char. So now the Kohen Gadol is entitled to half. And there are going to be certain circumstances where another 2 is taken off the top. So that leaves you with eight, and the Kohen Gadol now is going to get four.